Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Hey folks, welcome back to another week of Wrecking and Racing. I am your host, the Gas Man, with my co-host. Some of you may know him as Fireball Roberts, illegitimate grandchild, twice removed, Lugs.
That's never been referred to that, but sure, I'll go ahead and roll with that.
So folks, welcome back. It's going to be a very exciting week. First off, I want to say thank you for showing up again. Thank you for listening to us. Really a lot to talk about today. A lot of fan interaction.
Yeah, this is a fantastic week as far as interaction goes. So that was really cool.
It was great. And I just want to say, I mean, our Facebook was overloaded this week. So
yeah, you guys really engaged with us. We had a couple of cool posts up and really got some good feedback and interaction with the fans. So thanks to everyone out there that, you know, participated and liked our page and subscribed and you know, liked our posts and shared all that good stuff. So yeah, thanks again.
Absolutely. And without you guys, we wouldn't be here. Our whole point of being here is for you. So getting the show on the road here, you know, first off, thank you again, fans. Check out our website, wreckingandracing.com. Email us. As always, we want to hear from you, know what to talk about, have some interaction with you, wreckingandracing@gmail.com. And thank you for the fans who did email this past week. A couple of you are going to go home with some prizes. And as always, we're going to start our week with the official beer of NASCAR.
Busch. Well, I hope all the fans are having a good week. We'll start off here by recapping the Tricky Triangle from the weekend.
Actually, before we get to that, let's take care of our fans. So, Stephanie Womeldorf, and she did reach out to us and did say I pronounced it correctly. So, Stephanie, I know you're going to be listening again.
We got to make them wait till the end, but, you know, we'll be
you
nice.
Think so? Maybe we'll... Nah, we'll go ahead and do it now. Yeah, we'll
then they're
be
just
nice.
Going to tune out.
yeah, exactly. And that's okay. Stephanie, thank you for contacting us. As you know, your stuff will be coming to you very soon in the mail. Couple other email winners, our 3rd and 24th place contest that we're having on our email. Carrie DiOrio.
Don't butcher it.
Yeah. Carrie, I apologize. And Dustin Absher. Dustin, that one's easy to say. Thank you. So Dustin is a Kyle Larson fan. Carrie is a Truex fan.
How do you know this?
I asked them. I reached out and talked to them myself. Okay. And
I didn't know if you were just doing some stalking.
I was
or...
not Facebook stalking. I asked specifically who each person. Because Dustin also told me he does like Chris Bell as well.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Good. And Stephanie is a Harvick fan.
Cool.
You know, Stephanie, you're listening to us. Get well. You know, you told me you were having some issues and some medical recovery. So hope you get better. Thanks for listening. Hopefully we can make your curing time, your getting healthy time, enjoyable. That's probably not the right wordings to say. I'm the worst at that kind of stuff. So Stephanie, thank you for listening. Let's just shut up and get going. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Man, I just have so much in my mind. You know what? Let's go ahead and pick our next couple of winners. So, let's grab your list. All right. And don't forget to draw the hat lugs that we have here, you know. And just we'll see who we choose. So, your first person, what's the name you got? We'll go with our first one, which will be our... We're going to have three winners this week, so our third place winner.
This is completely random out of a hat, by the way.
Yes. And by the way, yeah, we also had 227 people participating in this that are potential winners. So.
Yeah, so again, thanks everyone, because that's awesome.
Yes. So our first one is...
Barbara Wilhelm.
Yes, Barbara, thank you. You're our third place winner, and we probably should put the names on Facebook as well, or should we make them listen to the podcast to know who won?
We'll post it.
Yeah, we won't be that much of a pain in the butt. All right, second, here we go.
Monica Perrin.
Hi, Monica. How are you? Pan, yeah. So we're going to pick you as our second place winner. And our grand prize winner of our contest is...
Drumroll. Joseph Adams.
Joseph Adams. Joseph, please come to the front. So we're going to list your names on Facebook. As of right now, those are our three winners. And hopefully we'll have another contest soon. And one last reminder as well, coming up in a little, roughly a month, we're going to be in Daytona at the Coke Zero Sugar 400. We'd love to hear from you if you're going to be at Daytona as well, so we can have a meetup. And we might have a couple gifts with us as well. So thank you again, fans. Now we'll get the show on the road. And thank you, everybody, for participating.
Yeah, so we'll move on to Pocono. We'll kind of recap Pocono over the weekend. So what they call the Tricky Triangle.
Long Pond Speedway.
Could also be referred to as the Truex Triangle this weekend.
That is right.
As Mr. Truex scored his second win of the season.
And what does a triangle have in common with Pocono? The three corners, right? And what else do we have at Pocono? Three contenders, that's it.
Well, I wouldn't say that. There's a couple other contenders. Larson contended... Bush, Havoc.
What was that, Havoc? You trying to go for like...
It's my Boston accent.
Okay, I don't know how that has to do with anything with Pennsylvania.
It's
Pocono.
It's Northeast. Come on, give me that.
Sure.
But,
sure.
So Truex, you know, won it. I wouldn't say, he dominated it by any means, but, he should flex the muscle, we'll put it that way. So I guess my question is, you know, is Truex, is he warming up now? I mean, we saw Harvick and you saw Bush kind of go through a couple cycles of warming up and getting on a hot streak. Is this Truex? Is this the beginning of a streak for him?
I don't say a streak necessarily, but I could definitely see him being... If we say streak, I mean winning streak. I don't think he's going to win the next race, but I think he'll be a top five. So for consistency, yes. For victories, not necessarily. I don't think the 78 team has what they had last year. That mojo's gone to Harvick.
I could agree with that to an extent, but it seems like these three teams kind of just get in their own bubble and keep raising the bar. So I have seen no reason why Truex couldn't, you know, win the next two races. I mean, yeah, he's always there. The thing is, he's contending week in and week out. He may not have the fastest car, but, I mean, if there's anything that tells us, history shows us that any driver that consistently runs in the top five are going to start chipping off wins, and you just got to be there to be in that position.
True. Here's one person that we're not talking about. So we're talking about these three. There's one person I think is better than Truex. And that's Joey Logano.
Why?
Who's sitting third in points?
Well, I don't know. Is he? I didn't look at points.
Logano's third in points. Truex is fourth. Bush is leading. Harvick is second. Harvick's only second because of his penalty. So, Joey Logano is having... It's like one of my farts. He's having a silent but deadly season.
Oh, God. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. The gas pan, right? As a joke, people. So... Logano is just someone we don't really talk about much, but I think he is actually very underrated this season.
Yeah, but he finished ninth Sunday.
Okay, he's still ahead of Truex. So, yeah, Truex had this one race better, but as consistent, Logano's been better than Truex.
I don't know. I need to see. How many does Logano have?
One.
Exactly.
Yeah, but nobody's. My whole point is that nobody's talking about Logano. Nobody's talking about Logano.
I don't see him up there contending for the wins as much as I do Truex. Points, you know, being, you know, apparent of what they are, I just feel like Truex is up there contending for the wins more. Yes, Logano's consistent, and that's got him third in the points, but I don't think that he's as consistently up inside the top five contending for the wins as what Truex is.
I'll give you that. But I'm just thinking that Logano should be somewhat in the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's got to win, so why shouldn't he be? But
I mean, literally watching the race on Sunday, they didn't really talk about him at all. And again, he's sitting third in points.
Well, he also kind of messed himself up too. They didn't get the gas sell fuel on the first stop, and that really got him off cycle and basically put him in the back. So he was, you know, Pocono is not the most easiest racetrack to pass at, so that kind of put him in a disadvantage early, but you know, still came back for a top 10.
So talking about the racing at Pocono, it, you just made a comment that it's not the easiest to pass at. Very true. But I'll tell you what, I love the restarts of Pocono.
Mm-hmm.
I love it because other than first place, second place, everybody in the back just fans out, yeah. Balls to the wall.
Drafting four or five wide.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love it. And I really felt like the racing in the back of the pack, back of pack, outside the top two or three.
Right.
Was actually some of the best racing that we've had this season.
Yeah. I always enjoy Pocono. I mean, sometimes it can get a little drawn out. The competition can be a little drawn out. But I enjoy Pocono.
Yeah. I mean, you got the clean air, you're out for the win.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it was.
That, you know, arguably is at any...
Every track anymore exactly. In the last several years. So.
So that puts basically Truex, Harvick, and Busch taking 11 out of 14 races this year. That's crazy to me.
Extremely.
Three drivers take 11 out of 14 races. So we're basically, put it this way, after the completion of Pocono, we're 38.4% complete with the season.
38.4.
Yeah, I gotta be meticulous on the numbers.
Okay.
If they maintain this current pace, which obviously it could happen, but it may not happen. Who knows? Harvick would end the season with 12 wins. Busch would end it with 10. And Truex would end it with 5. There's some little factoids for you there.
So what you're saying is a 2-man race, not a 3-man race.
I don't know. It depends what happens in the races. Harvick and Busch don't win. Maybe they finish last.
But here's what you're not taking consideration. I mean, you're going off strictly what the current trends are.
Yeah.
What's going to be different in the second half of the season compared to the first half of the season?
The fact that we're going to revisit some tracks, but. Hopefully Chevy gets their crap together.
That's what I was going to bring up.
Exactly.
Is that I think by that point, you'll start to see Chevrolet contend more wins.
I hope so, and I do think so. Larson got second. Let's see, who else did we have? Johnson was 8th, and Elliott was 10th. So had 3 in the top 10. So I do see some consistency. I know we talk about this every week, so sorry for the fans out there that hate hearing us talk about the Chevys.
And we're only talking about them because of the struggles they're having.
Yeah, and it'd be, if the roles were reversed and it was Ford or Toyota, we'd still be talking about it. Yeah. So, but anyways, that's just the kind of certain percentages or the number of wins that we would be looking at if we maintained our current pace. But I guess my biggest question here is, obviously we know who the 3 front runners are, right? Those are the 3 favorites to go to Homestead. Who's the 4th?
That's Logano. We already talked about it. Silent but deadly. Logano.
I don't see Logano. I don't, you know, I know the stats are there. Gasman's going to argue with me, but I think that Larson is going to turn up the heat. I think he's going to get a couple wins, and I think that, you know, that's going to be the team that's going to make it as the 4th team to go to Homestead.
Well, one of our winners, Dustin, will be very happy to hear that.
Well, hopefully it happens.
Yeah. With the race that we had, we had good racing, but there wasn't really a whole lot of wrecks, a whole lot of action, like big action. There was a couple, especially towards the end. That's when it was most exciting. But
Yep. Mr. Hamlin and Bowman got into it a little bit.
I don't remember that. Oh, yeah, dude, never mind. I apologize. I was like, brain fart. Wait a second.
It looked like Hamlin just kind of got too low and then kind of, you know, lost the front and the end. And when he went up the track to catch it, he hit Bowman. Bowman went up in the wall. Hamlin spun down and then hit the infield retaining wall.
Yeah, and Bowman's he'd be doing really well and just has bad luck.
He keeps catching up in other people's stuff. But
yeah,
unfortunately, Hamlin was my pick for Pocono.
Where did Hamlin finish at?
He was 35th.
Oh, that's great. Who's your dark horse?
Eric Jones.
Where did he finish at?
29th. Broke the top 30.
Yeah. So you averaged like a 30th place finish.
Yeah, it was a real good weekend for me.
I actually didn't do a whole lot better. I did have Ryan Blaney as my winner, and he finished 6th. But I had Suarez as my dark horse, and he finished 24th.
Mm.
So, you know, that was a 15th place average. So, you know, doubled the average better than yours. Still... nowhere near a victory on that one.
Nah. No.
You know, one thing I do want to point out as well was Matt Kenseth finished 13th.
That's really good for them.
Yeah, and I mean, he finished one spot better than his teammate Ricky Stenhouse. So Matt's gotten progressively. He did have one bad race where he finished like 32nd or whatever, but progressively, I think he's getting better, and he's going to as he gets a little more seat time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I just think they're just like a NFL quarterback taking reps in practice. It's just like it's like that for a Cup driver. They need to have the reps to learn their spots when they turn it into the corners, etc. So mm-hmm. Definitely, you know, good for Kenseth, and I can see him being more of a 10th to 8th place contender this coming week. Is he still in the car this week, or is it?
You know, I don't know who when in, when.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
So when, let's just say if Michigan suits.
I don't know when Bain's stepping in. I can look it up real quick.
So Michigan suits Kenseth well, his kind of style.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see Kenseth having a really good run this week. I almost picked him. We get to Michigan and talk about who our winners and dark horses are. I almost picked Kenseth to be my dark horse.
Really. Moving on to a little bit another piece there from Pocono. So, did you see Clint Bowyer miss a shift on that last restart?
I seen it, yes. It wasn't quite as catastrophic as Bubba.
Yeah, Bubba did the same, too. He also got burned by Ryan Blaney on social media for it, too.
Bubba or Clint?
Bubba got burned. Oh,
okay, I didn't see that.
Apparently, he called out Ryan Blaney, and I guess Blaney posted a photo of him with the pole award or something, and Bubba said, real cool, man, but you should have got the win or something like that. And Ryan shot back and said, yeah, man, you should have made that shift.
Yeah.
So a little bit of ice for that burn, I guess. But, yeah, so Bowyer missed the shift, and it was kind of, I don't know if you want to believe in karma or whatever, if you believe in that type of stuff, but he said prior to that happening, he's like, man, this car is so awesome. There's no way we're finishing outside of the top 10. And then he missed a shift and finished 20th.
Yeah, so. I did see that the King burned him, too. The King's told me
he's going to get an automatic.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It is funny. I don't really have any other news about Pocono. It was kind of it was a decent race, pretty straightforward. And, mm-hmm. I mean, you just had a couple of big contenders. And,
yeah, so
you know, the biggest shock would be Larson finishing second, I think, just due to the issue that Chevy's had.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason I would call it a shock. Larson is very capable of winning. So second's not a shock. It's the fact that Chevy actually somewhat contended.
Right. So that puts the win totals for manufacturers. Ford now has 7 wins, Toyota 6, and Chevy has 1. Next time we come to Pocono, we might be under a new rules package. The rumor is that the All-Star package with the restrictor plates that they used a couple weeks ago might be instituted when we return to Pocono. It's kind of the rumor.
How'd you feel about the Xfinity race?
You know, I did watch it, but it wasn't as exciting.
Exactly.
It wasn't as exciting as, say, the All-Star race. So I don't know what was different there. I don't know.
Just track configurations, my guess.
Well, one thing is that series has ran the package before, so they've probably got their arms around it
a little bit better.
Yeah,
a little more, right.
So it'd be interesting to see if that's the style of racing we'll see at Pocono if the Cup goes back there with that package, or will they still be like it was at the All-Star race where no one really knew what to expect and didn't have their arms around the package yet. So
who's in charge of that? Is it Steve O'Donnell?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Steve O'Donnell's an idiot.
Tell us how you really feel, guys, man.
Yeah. So, going on from Pocono and talking about other news, since I was talking about Steve O'Donnell, we'll just discuss him a little further. So, there was a little Twitter interaction, and we do follow a journalist named Jeff Gluck. If you do not on Twitter, no, I would suggest that you do.
Highly advised.
Yeah, he's very, very good, and we actually have followed him for several years.
If you guys, he also does tweet-ups at the racetracks. If you do follow him, you know he goes to a lot of the tracks. He kind of funds his own, you know, personal voyages to the track to cover the sport and everything. So definitely recommend following him if you don't already, and also check out his website.
One thing that Jeff does each week, he asks how the racing was. He wants the fans kind of vote on if the racing was good or bad. And speaking on his defense, why not ask that question?
Yeah, because it's a valid question.
It is absolutely a valid question. And in today's environment, it's more valid than ever before. So let me kind of divulge into what happened or took place on Twitter. So Steve O'Donnell kind of CC'd, or not CC'd, but kind of retweeted or commented on whatever on Jeff's poll that he did.
Tweeted.
Yeah. So Steve O'Donnell, basically, this is a paraphrase. I don't have the exact quote in front of me. But why he's essentially asking, why are we asking this question every week?
Mm-hmm.
No other sport ask if their if their play was any good.
Is this necessary? Yeah.
So is it necessary to have questions like this? So of course
I think it is. Stay in touch with your fans.
It absolutely is. And the fans jumped all over Steve.
He should know better, honestly.
He should. And this brings me back to my whole soapbox from a few weeks ago.
Here, I'll pull it out from underneath. Yeah.
Let me get back
Let
on
you
it.
Step up on it. There you go.
There we go. So a few weeks ago, fans, I was all pissed off and heated about Rob Kauffman's statements and how out of touch he is with the true fan base and NASCAR and how the little teams are actually what kind of drive the sport. I kind of almost had the same feeling with Steve O'Donnell's comment. If he is naive enough to think that the racing is so good that we should not question it, he is part of the problem.
Mm.
This guy is the director of competition for NASCAR.
You think you'd want to know what the fans are thinking and liking or not liking.
Is he that naive, or is he just that arrogant to why question me and my sport?
Maybe you know? Both. I don't know.
So I won't stay on my soapbox too long, but that really had me ticked off. Because that was a super arrogant question statement coming from him to Jeff.
Yeah, and I mean, you see some of the backlash that comes up on a weekly basis from fans anyways. The NASCAR fan base is highly critical of any decision. So, I feel like asking whether you like the competition or the results or the racing of that weekend, I mean, that's a valid argument. So.
Hell, this whole show's that. This whole show's that exact same question, just broken out in a different format as Jeff Gluck's question.
Mm-hmm, basically.
This show is about the fans and the fans' perspective. And that's exactly what Jeff was doing, is getting the fans' perspective in as simple as just a simple poll.
Right.
And then dumbass Steve O'Donnell has to make comments like that.
Hey, what? Before you get off your soapbox, I also heard there was something going on with Keith Olbermann. You want to talk about that?
There's another dumbass.
I know. I don't want to get you off of the soapbox, and you have to get back up on there. So,
okay. So here's what happened: is right now is the NHL the finals, and for ones who don't know, including maybe you, Lugs, NHL is the National Hockey League.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So currently, it's the Stanley Cup Finals, the Las Vegas Golden Knights against the Washington Capitals. The other night, it's being shown on NBC. So NBC has this new star in the making as a sportscaster. His name is Dale Jr. Okay? So people are in the racing community, and pretty much every household across America know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this dumbass named Keith Olbermann, who has been fired from several news outlets for being a... You know what? He calls everybody a racist, but I think he might be a racist.
Mm-hmm.
He's such an idiot. Anyway, he goes on Twitter and makes a comment. Why does NBC have a retired driver or a retired cab driver on TV talking about hockey? So again...
So why did they?
It was a cross promotion, I guess, for NASCAR.
Just kidding.
But... One is Keith act like he didn't know who Dale Jr. was, which was a bunch of BS. Because Keith is an ESPN announcer.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was for ESPN for a while, I know.
Yeah, for a long while. So he knows a lot about racing. But does he have to be a prick all the time?
Because it stirs the pot. Simple. Stirs the pot.
I mean, he's constantly bashing the president.
Keeps his name in the spotlight. It keeps him relevant in his eyes, so that's...
Such an idiot. Keith Olbermann, I hope you're listening. You're a dumbass. good for NBC getting Dale Jr. involved. Because they had him involved for the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
They've had him involved for Monday Night Football. They've had him involved for hockey. there's going to be a lot of stuff he's going to be involved with other than just NASCAR itself. I mean, the guy has his own home renovation show as well. So he's much more than just a cab driver.
Yeah, when does that come out, by the way?
That's already out.
Is it?
Yeah, oh, okay. The HGTV.
You probably have it DVR'd right now, don't you?
I do. Oh, yeah, cool. Along with Elsa's. Elsa Rose.
Ellen's?
Isla Rose's.
Ellen?
Yeah. Ellen, what?
Ellen, like the talk show?
No, I don't watch Ellen.
Oh, okay.
Talking about Isla Rose.
Gotcha. Elder. In other news, we'll get you off your soapbox now. Kyle Busch's Xfinity car failed post-race inspection after he won the Xfinity race at Pocono.
Did you see his comment he made?
Yeah, so the car, it failed inspection, and he said it was too high. So he cast it out on Twitter, of course, and said, too high, how's that result in a penalty? That makes a car go slower, which, you know, that could be argued to a point, I guess, but... you
it's know, still outside the limits.
Nonetheless, yeah, too high, too low. You're not in the threshold or tolerances.
It just
so.
Cracks me up because every week, Kyle Busch is crying on Twitter about something else. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to use the term crying just because he cannot express his opinion without being condescending about everything.
Well, it's the tone and the way he comes across to people. So,
I mean, a few weeks ago, he's basically cussing his pit crew out. Telling his truck team they suck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just something with him every single week.
That's not the best way to motivate your crew. So, you know, if you missed that episode, go back and listen to it. But other news, Supra, the Toyota Supra might be coming to the Xfinity series.
What?
Did you hear about this?
So we're going to have supercars in this next year.
Also,
yeah.
That's kind of a...
It's going to be different.
Past the one-third mark and... You know, I don't know, kind of interesting that, to me, I mean, you're this close to the halfway point and you're going to say you're going to be debuting a new car. I hope you got a lot of homework done on already.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, not only a new car that doesn't even fit the typical mold.
No, absolutely.
So I mean, this is going to be a lot of engineering and getting it from
But that's cool. I'm excited to see it. So that will pit, you know, itself against the Camaro and the Mustang and the Xfinity series. So question there is...
It'll be right around the corner for Cup.
Will it come to Cup
it
in 2020?
Probably.
I don't know. The Camry's
maybe
been
2021.
So good. We'll
no,
to see.
Nothing past 21.
But. Yeah, I would agree with that. But yeah, so that's pretty cool. Neat to see a new, namesake in the sport.
Yeah. Did you hear we have another NASCAR baby? So
I had to do a double take when I read it.
Yeah, same here. Okay, same here. So fans follow along with this, okay? So one of the NASCAR traditional families is the Petty family, right? So you have Richard, and he had his dad Lee, then Richard's son Kyle, then Kyle's son Adam. You have a whole generational tree of Petties in NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know Kyle Petty as the, you know, Harley long-haired riding guy. Used to drive a Mountain Dew car way back in the day. I think he even drove a Silver
Mellow
Bullet.
Yellow, get it right.
That's what I meant, Mellow Yellow.
My gosh,
yeah,
that's blasphemy.
That's a Mountain Dew. Yeah,
that's
it's Mellow Yellow. It's in my
that's
mind.
A legendary yes. car. And if 42. Anybody saw our post, that yes. was one of the favorite schemes yes. that someone uploaded.
Yeah, I completely apologize. I'm envisioning the black and yellow car
I really did like that car.
So did I. I remember as a kid, I liked Kyle Petty just because of the car. When I was a little itty-bitty kid. I'm talking about like... Third grade
and Days of Thunder too.
Yeah, sure. So the number 42 Mel Yellow car. So anyway, I digress a little bit. So I was taken a little aback this week because I've always known Kyle Petty to be married to Patty Petty. And whenever I seen that Kyle announce the birth of his son, I was like, what? The dude's too old to be having a kid. I understand that guys can't have kids, you know, for you know, up you know, whatever age.
Yeah, you want to cap it there or what?
But keep it family friendly. But I knew Patty had to be getting up there, and I'm sure she's past the childbearing ages. So I was really taken aback. Then I seen that his wife was Morgan Petty. I was like, Morgan Petty? How the hell did Kyle Petty get divorced and remarried? And I had no idea.
It's that ponytail, man.
It distracted me. It pulled an illusion.
No,
on
I don't know. I took it's you know frightened me when I read it too. So
yeah, I don't know the difference in age between the two, but Morgan looks a lot younger. And let me tell you what, did So him and Patty got divorced in 2012.
Might have something to do with the money.
And, yeah, you think? And then this lady, Morgan, was the director of his motorcycle charity ride. And she quit the organization in 2012 to start dating Kyle.
Oh.
Right after his divorce.
Oh, interesting. Hey, yeah, I'm looking at a picture of her right now.
Yeah, see if there's a, you can see if you can find an age difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very attractive woman. Kyle, you have a very attractive wife. It just, it's caught me off guard. I did not know
she
that.
She is 32. And Kyle is 57. So you folks do the math there.
Yeah.
So, good for you, Kyle. Good for you.
Yeah, good. Sure. You know what's funny, Lugs?
What?
Is that she's younger than us.
Hey, don't divulge our age.
I did. I just said she's younger than us. I didn't say by how much.
Anyways, let's see. Goodyear's bringing a new compound to the race weekend here this weekend in Michigan for the Cup and Xfinity Series. Yeah. So
maybe it'll make the racing a little bit more dynamic.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there.
So, you know, Casey, I'm sorry, I take it back. I apologize. I'm getting stumbling in my words here, folks. I apologize. Chase Elliott, you know, him driving the GMS car and Xfinity for a couple races.
Mm-hmm.
Bowman's going to now step in and run a couple races as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so Hendrick's kind of like using GMS as a light team, I guess, for extra practice for their Cup drivers.
Well, good for them. I think Chase Elliott got second in that car this weekend behind Busch, so good for them.
You mean the car that was encumbered?
Yeah, that's true, but I don't think they use that word.
Yeah.
Case Kane's got a new sponsor, picked up a new sponsor.
Oh, I didn't see this.
Chevrolet Accessories.
Ah.
Chevrolet Accessories.
Nice.
So, let's see if there's any other notables I'm forgetting from this weekend. So.
And folks, I'm going to apologize right now. I've been at my normal job. I've been working so much that my notes aren't as detailed as normal, and I feel like I'm a little off my game. I apologize. I really do. I think Lugs has us covered, though. He's bringing the stuff tonight. His heater. His fastball.
So, do want to talk a little bit about the standings. I know we kind of touched on it here and there. But last weekend, if you remember, Chase Elliott and Stenhouse were tied for the cutoff spot. Chase Elliott gets the nod because I think he had more top 10s or top 5s. But after points this week, that solidly moves Chase into 14th. Bowman fell out.
On my notes, I have him down as 13th.
Oh, I'm going off of NBC Sports' stats. So one of the two of them's wrong. But he's either 13th or 14th. So I don't know if someone got a penalty we don't know about and fell back.
Nobody had penalties this week other than Kyle's Xfinity.
I don't know. I've got Chase in 14th with a 24-point cushion.
I bet one includes playoff points and one doesn't.
Oh, yeah, it could be.
I'm sure it's probably what it is.
Yeah, playoff standings here. Okay. Sorry, my bad. That puts Jones in 15th, so Jones is in, and Stenhouse 16th, plus 12. So Stenhouse is inside the top 16. Bowman fell out.
Bowman fell out because Austin Dillon has a win, who's automatically in, because he's technically behind Bowman in points.
Yeah, so who really cares about points? I mean,
yeah,
playoff is
exactly.
Really
yeah, it's all the
everyone's going to be talking about. So,
sure. I think Bowman will get in though. Bowman's been inconsistent; he just keeps getting caught up in crap.
Yeah, I think he can surpass Jones and Stenhouse. I think it's going to come down to Jones and Stenhouse for the cutoff spot, for the last spot in the playoffs. Myself, but so
you want to run down the top 10?
Yeah, we'll run through them here. So
we'll go off your playoff list, guys. It's a little more accurate.
Okay, so Harvick's first, 5 wins, 25 playoff points. Busch, fourth, tied with the same amount of playoff points. Martin Truex goes to third, 13 playoff points. Then you've got Logano in fourth, Clint Bowyer fifth, Austin Dillon sixth. Those are all of your race winners for 2018. Brad Keselowski seventh, Kurt Busch eighth, Hamlin ninth, Kyle Larson 10th. Blaney in 11th with Almirola 12th, Johnson 13th, Chase Elliott 14th, Jones 15th, and Stenhouse 16th. Outside looking in, Bowman 17th, Menard 18th, Suarez 19th, matching his driver number, and Jamie McMurray in 20th. Which Suarez and McMurray are both over 60 points out from.
I say unless there's a victory, they're both
exactly.
Out.
They got to get a strategy call or something.
18th on back is eliminated in my eyes.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. Yeah, absolutely. So, I know, again, I don't want to get on my soapbox of
bring it, Lugs. You don't ever get on the soapbox.
Chevrolet or anything. I feel like I do with when it comes to the struggles of Chevrolet right now. But I saw this stat the other day I wanted to bring up. So, Jimmy Johnson turning the corner. First seven races of 2018, he had zero top fives. One top 10 in the first seven races. His average finish was 21.4. Okay. The last seven races, he's got two top fives. Increased by two. Five top tens compared to one in the first seven races. But average finish in the last seven races, 8.9. That's a huge turnaround.
Good, yeah.
Huge turnaround. So... yeah, it's interesting to see.
You can definitely
where
see
they
it
go
through
from
the
here.
Charge coming. And
yeah. So, we kind of called it, honestly. The first few weeks, we said third of the way mark.
Yeah.
Caught their start to get their arms around that car, and I feel like we have. He even tweeted, said, we're inching forward week after week, still a long way to go. And it's going to take more from Hendrick, but the good news is I know we're all up for the challenge, so...
yeah, I think they're definitely going to have a couple of victories. I think Chase is going to be there several times. So, yep, Hendrick's got getting their stuff more in the direction of what we're used to seeing in Hendrick.
So let's talk about picks for this weekend, unless you got anything else.
No, that's it. Actually, I thought it was a very slow week news-wise compared to what we have had with the big stories.
Mm-hmm.
Much a little smaller stuff. But so talking about Michigan. Michigan's a track that can be very enjoyable. It's got a history.
Good restarts. Very wide.
Some of the most scariest wrecks in NASCAR history. Think about what it did to Ernie Irvin. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. So definitely respect the track. But yeah, I think I've gone first the last 2 weeks. I'll let you go first this week.
Who do you think I'm going to pick?
I think you're going to pick who I pick.
Well... I picked Kyle Larson.
Is that who
you picked?
That's who I did pick.
You took Blaney from me last week, so I'm taking Larson from you this week.
I will come up with another.
Here's my reason why. He's got, at Pocono, that was his third runner-up finish of this season. Plus, he's won the last three races at Michigan. So I'll give you props on picking Larson, even though you can't have him. I'm taking him. He's got the last three wins there, and he finished second last week. Why not, right?
Right.
Runner-up or dark horse, I'm going to go with Jones again. Yeah, I picked him last week. He let me down. he's actually got a pretty good driver rating at Michigan. So
one of these weeks, you're going to get lucky because you're going to pick the same guy every week. It's like the lottery. You keep choosing the same number.
I haven't picked Larson in a few weeks.
Talk about Jones.
Well, he keeps letting me down, so I'm not too lucky.
Yeah.
So that's my pick. Who do you got?
So, I did have Larson, but now I'm going to kind of make fun of myself here and pick the guy that's not going to win next week as my winner for next week. I'm going to go pick Truex.
Oh!
He took my Larson pick, and yes, I was thinking Truex was going to finish second, so you picking Larson, then I'll just move him up one
spot. All right, Truex, who's your dark horse?
My dark horse is Alex Bowman. I really feel comfortable with Alex is doing in his first really full season.
Plus, he's going to get extra seat time this weekend, so not a bad move.
And I really think he would be literally pushing the door for the top 12 right now in points if it had been for a couple of bad instances, luck situations. So I think as a racer, he's been doing a phenomenal job this year. I'm going to go with Bowman as my dark horse.
Okay, good deal.
And if my dark horse wins, I get quadruple points, right? That means four wins, right?
No, I'm afraid not. That's all I've got. I got one last thing to bring up.
I don't have anything else other than the fans are awesome.
Yeah, I got one last thing that happened over the weekend in Detroit and the Indy race.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I know you're
a big Indy car fan.
I've watched it.
You probably saw it live.
Sure. I mean, it may have came through as a Facebook attachment.
Saw me tag you on Facebook. Exactly, exactly. So for fans, those of you that didn't see it, apparently... the pace car, brand new Chevy Corvette, was leading the IndyCar field to the green, or in the parade laps at least, leading up to the green. And they were making a left hairpin, and the Corvette driver took a little too fast, lost control, spun to the inside, and crashed into the infield or inside wall. Did a pretty hefty amount of damage to the front end of that car. I guess the driver was okay, by the way, so a testament to the Corvette safety, I guess. If anything positive could come out of there, I guess it was, no issues there, good safety. Kind of weird. You don't see that very often. Maybe we'll post that video up on our page for fans to see.
Did you see the video I posted of the guy who stole the pace car in the 1980s?
Talladega?
Yeah, 86 yeah. Talladega. I've seen that 87 Talladega.
A few times, but yeah, that's classic as well.
I wish we have like a celebrity like that person call in.
I just want to know what happened to the guy. Yeah, I know he got arrested, but where's he at now?
Yeah. It's probably just, you know, some grandpa or something. Let me tell you about this time, young man.
Shunny?
Yeah.
All right, well.
That old man accent was much better than your Boston accent, by the way.
Oh,
that,
you didn't
that
like,
made no sense.
You didn't like my Boston accent?
Let's talk about Pennsylvania.
All right, we'll move on. Well, fans, thank you again for listening in this weekend. Thank you for the engagement online and our Facebook post, Twitter, email, everything. Please reach out to us. Let us know what you want to talk about next week. If there's anything you want to discuss that we talked about this week.
Yeah, thank you, fans, and thanks for listening. Have a great night.
And the checkered flag waves on this episode. Tune in next week to keep updated on all things NASCAR. Please like us on iTunes and follow us on Podbean. We'd like to hear from you, so reach out to us too at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you soon.